Hi, everybody. Welcome into your Friday Sports Talk. I'm Scott Beatty, here with you till 6 o'clock, along with the editor of the News Gazette sports page and IlliniHQ.com, Matt Daniels. We have a full show. I think it's going to be an entertaining one, if not, hopefully, at least informative. And we have plenty to get to coming up in a few minutes. Gene Honda is here. He is the PA voice of pretty much everything, but in this particular moment, the PA voice of the Chicago Blackhawks. They are having a watch party here in Champaign at Firehouse tomorrow, and he'll tell you more about what that means and why he's here for it. We'll give you away some prize packs, too, that you could pick up there. So that's reason enough to stick around. Bob Osmussen is going to check in the world according to him. And he and I had a chance to talk with Isaiah Martinez, who is really, really, really good at wrestling, and he's going to do it for the last time at Huff Hall on Sunday as an Illini. And who knows what else we'll get to as well. Good evening to you, Mr. Daniels. I can't even see you. I'm blocked by this monitor.
It's all right,
here,
Scott,
but
I'm here.
You know, this is meant for the ears anyway.
Exactly.
So getting
I
the full experience by not looking at you. It's been a full day sports wise, hasn't it?
It's been a busy day. I know Illinois officially announced a new defensive line coach for Lovie Smith's staff, so I'm sure we can talk about that more as the show goes on.
Austin Clark comes by via the way of California, was at USC, was, I think, not an official...
Graduate assistant.
Yeah, graduate assistant. That's what I was looking for.
GA.
Worked with the defensive line and the linebackers. Interesting because... He's 27 years old, doesn't have a whole lot of experience, but there's a lot of other experience on the staff, so I think you can afford to bring in somebody who's less seasoned.
Yeah, Lovie Smith said that he kind of blew them away in the interview process with his enthusiasm and attention to detail. And interesting side note, too, is he played college football at California, was there for six seasons, had an injury-plagued career for the Golden Bears, and was actually... a teammate of Hardy Nickerson, the young Hardy Nickerson, who transferred to Illinois for the 2016 season after his dad, Hardy Nickerson, became the defensive coordinator. And those two are actually teammates in the 2013 and 14 seasons at Cal. So that just goes to show you, too, the youth that he has. But when you have a passion for the game of football like Austin Clark does and a willingness to learn, and he's going to get a great opportunity to, you know, start his coaching career out on the right foot here, learning from Lovie Smith and Hardy Nickerson. And he's a student of the game, and we'll see what he does with the defensive line now for the Illini.
Some of the other things going on today in Illini Nation, men's golf down in Florida for Big Ten match play. They lose to Wisconsin. They're doing 6-on-6, and they lose 3.5 to 2.5. They went split 3-3 with Nebraska as well. So that is how their first two matches start. Illini softball opened their season splitting two games, beating Providence for the opener 9-1 down in Florida. They fall to North Florida 5-3, the final. Women's tennis off to a really good start. They beat Furman today 7-0 at the Atkins Tennis Center. The men play tonight against Cal at 6 o'clock. Tomorrow against Stanford, two top 25 programs as well. So if you're interested in seeing some really good tennis, check that out. And women's gymnastics on the road tonight for a meet at Minnesota. The Winter Olympics have been launched in Korea, and a United Korea stole the show in the opening ceremony. And a United Korean hockey team will be in the spotlight tomorrow. It's already tomorrow there at the Pyeongchang Olympics. North and South Korea march together at the opening ceremonies as they were officially opened at Olympic Stadium. Tomorrow, the women's hockey team that is made up of players from North and South Korea will play its opening game against Switzerland. And the Bulls have waived guard forward Tony Allen, if you care at all about that. He was a guy they got for trading Nikola Mirotic. It was on the wires. I figured somebody cared, right?
Yeah, why not?
So that is some of what's going on. We are in this weird space right now where men's basketball is going to be condensed now through the rest of the month, and they're going to play, I don't know, what, seven games left, something
six
like that?
Games.
Six games left for the rest of this month, and then all the spring sports are starting now or next week. So there's actually a lot of activity, and then it's going to get a little quieter pretty quick.
Yeah, it's kind of like that overlap that we see sometimes, and or we see every November when Illinois football is still going on, and then Illinois men's basketball gets going, and you got the I remember the first two weekends of the basketball season, he had an Illinois football game sandwiched in there as well. So, yeah, that's a busy time of the year on the Illinois athletic calendar, and it'll continue that way for about another 3 weeks or so, or however long the basketball season lasts for the Illini. It may be over before March arrives. Who knows, with the Big Ten tournament starting on February 28th.
Is it just because it's a bad matchup with Wisconsin that Illinois – loss? Is that just what we're dealing with here, or is Illinois just this bad right now?
There's just I'd say a myriad of issues that are plaguing the program. You knew there were gonna be some speed bumps in Brad Underwood's first season. That happens almost everywhere at times, although you look at what's happening in Columbus, and Ohio State is thriving under a first year head coach and Chris Holtmann. It really helps too that Kata Bates Diop is playing out of his mind this season for the Buckeyes. But Illinois they just don't have an identity right now. You thought you saw them kind of form one with their win against Indiana and then the blowout win against Rutgers, and they were competitive against Ohio State, and then last night against Wisconsin, they showed flashes. It's just that it's not that consistent product that you need to win in the Big Ten. And Wisconsin's got a really talented player in Ethan Happ, who Illinois makes him look really, really good. He already is really good.
Yeah.
But when he plays against his home state school, he just takes it to another level. And the rest of the schedule's not easy for Illinois. You got Penn State coming in on Sunday night. Go to Indiana, a place Illinois hasn't won at since 2010. On Valentine's Day night, and then the following weekend you got Nebraska, who's red hot as well right now, comes to town, and then after that you face the two big boys in Purdue and Michigan State and close out the year at Rutgers. So it's very possible, and it pains me to say that, but I don't know when Illinois might win again.
Yeah. And I don't know, that this is not a dead end season.
I'm not trying to paint a bleak picture on a Friday evening, everyone. It's just I
think they can beat Rutgers again, but I think there's a danger of Penn State is playing for everything right now.
And you look at Penn State too. They've got they're 17-9, 7-6 in the league. Had a big win against Maryland earlier this week. They've won three straight games again in the series against Illinois. They've never won four straight against Illinois in the history of the two teams have played. And they've got an elite scorer in Tony Carr. But they're trying to get the NCAA tournament for first time in Patrick Chambers' tenure. And their gauntlet, their schedule just gets turned up a notch after they leave Champaign. They face four of the top five teams in the league after Sunday night. So if they want to make a dent in any postseason or have any postseason aspirations, they have to win on Sunday night here in Champaign.
We'll see what they can do and see if they can turn it around. But we'll kind of flush away some of this bleakness because Gene Honda is going to be here, and he's Mr. Optimist.
Exactly.
So, Mr. Sunshine, I think. So he is going to join us in a moment. He'll tell more why he's in town with an event for the Chicago Blackhawks, and you have a chance to win some prize packs for that as well. Bob Ospison coming up later. Isaiah Martinez. We are off and running Sports Talk on a Friday. Welcome back on Sports Talk. Gene Honda is here. He is the public address voice of Illini football, the Chicago White Sox, the Chicago Blackhawks, the Final Four, the Big Ten tournament.
Anything that's important.
I wish it was just limited to that.
I know what it's like. I never met a microphone I didn't like either.
Well, I keep saying we'll talk for food, but I'm not sure how true that really is anymore.
A U of I alum as well, and our
more of an attendee, but okay.
whenever we have the News Gazette sports page Monday night at the Esquire, probably the best 10-15 seconds of the show is when Gene brings us back from commercial.
That's
right. You can hear his voice then, instead of ours.
We have to keep the listeners somehow.
Yes.
Oh,
sorry about that.
Well,
so you are here for the Blackhawks are going to have a watch party tomorrow at Firehouse,
yep.
Which is, I guess, become kind of the unofficial place for Blackhawks fans around here.
There's several. We have several Blackhawks bars here in the Champaign-Urbana area. The Firehouse happens to be one of them. Dublin's around the corner happens to be one of them.
Sounds like you've inspected them.
No, I actually looked it up on the website, which is even more helpful for people like me. It's something that we started about 10 years ago, and the concept of the watch party is really simple. We try to go to different bar restaurants and replicate the feeling fans have of a Blackhawks game at the United Center. And it started slowly. We sort of played with a couple of ideas. And it's evolved now to the point where we bring a disc jockey and technical director who hooks into the system. We play the same videos that we play at the United Center for all the home games. Before the game, during the intermissions, he replicates all the music. He has my goal calls recorded, and so he plays those as well. And then we bring members of the ice crew, the Budweiser ice crew come, and we give away prizes too, and the winner must be present to win. So we've done this for almost all of our home road games this year, and because of the popularity, we even now do it for some of the home games.
You're at the stadium, obviously, for those.
I'm trying to stay there, yes.
Are you on a mic for this, then, with recorded calls?
So for the recorded calls, yes. But what's nice about the watch parties for me is I get to sort of be the unofficial host and greeter and MC. And it's become a lot of fun. It really has. Yeah. If the initial goal, which it was to reach out and connect with your Blackhawks fans in various places, we've done that, and it's always fun to meet them. This one's going to be very exciting because this is the farthest we've ever come outside of the Chicago area. And I keep wondering if this is also sort of a lab experiment, shall we say? I never thought I'd aspire to be a laboratory animal, but this could be fun.
Yeah.
And hockey seems to kind of lend itself to watch parties like this. I mean, you think back to some big Blackhawks moments this decade with them making the run to the Stanley Cup, and yep. It seems everyone, not only in the Chicagoland area but downstate here too, that seems to get energized by that, and you know, the community, the camaraderie that comes about just by watching a sporting event at a bar or restaurant.
And that's exactly what we're trying to be a part of. It's worked for us for the past 9 or 10 years, and I guess what I'm most nervous about is this really is an experiment. We've had some inquiries from some other locations. I won't say where, but I will say they're warmer.
Okay.
Who are interested in doing the same thing about bringing watch parties there. We're going to see how it works. Are we received that way? Are we received the way that we want to be received? And then we'll see how it plays out.
Plus, I would think, I know it's not the same thing exactly, but U of I is in the midst of seeing if they can bring D1 hockey. I would be curious to see what kind of responses this type of thing get, because I have a sense, and I think most people agree, that if Division I hockey came here to the U of I, it would instantly be perhaps the third most popular sport on campus.
It might be. Yeah, I'd like to see that happen. I'd like to see what happens. You'll bring some great teams here with the Big Ten Hockey Conference, but we'll see exactly how that plays out.
Yeah, because you do the Frozen Four as well.
I've done the Frozen Four. We just had a game at the United Center a couple of weeks ago. Big Ten hockey, Notre Dame versus Wisconsin. And it was a great crowd.
What? Just from your vantage point, and your several stories, right?
I'm on the seventh floor, yes.
What is the big difference when you watch NHL hockey versus elite Division I hockey? Is there much of a gap?
There's not too much of a gap. It's very fast. There's some really hard hitting. If you don't think they hit hard in college hockey, holy smoke, go watch a game. It's a very, very fast pace, and it was fun to watch that game. I'd love to go back and do another Frozen Four. By the way, Wisconsin-Notre Dame is coming back to the United Center next year.
What is the particular challenge of doing hockey? Because I knew you were up high. I'd seen some sort of news report or something, or a profile of you. I knew you were up high. But the game is so quick. That puck is so small. How are you keeping track of what is going on?
Well, I have two things going for me. One, at least having played the game a little bit before, you get used to certain things. You also get used to that vantage point. As a matter of fact, we had to do some work for college hockey where I was at ice level. And that was strange because I'm used to being up on the seventh floor, and now all of a sudden I'm at ice level. That vantage point and that perspective changes too. So you're used to your eyes catching up to things. But luckily, I'm not allowed to say anything until I get it from the NHL officials who are behind me. So I don't have to worry about a thing.
So somebody will light the lamp, as they say, and then you're just waiting.
Yes. Yes. The official process for the NHL is this. A goal gets scored. If the official who's on the goal line sees it clearly. He'll skate to the scorer's bench at ice level and call out the player's number. Sometimes he'll actually say they'll have to figure out upstairs. Either way, it's not official until the official scorekeeper actually gives the goal and assigns the assists.
So you are well protected.
Oh, I'm insulated. It's wonderful.
Do you have a you've called obviously national championships, you've called a World Series, you've called so many things. Is there a something on the bucket list?
No, not really. You know what it is tomorrow? It's I can't believe that this is going to be my 16th Final Four. And you know what I'm looking for is a bucket list? 20.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to be there for 20.
Just to keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
How about a Super Bowl or something?
No.
Or a major bowl game?
No. No, I'm fine. If they invite, that'd be wonderful. But if not, you know, I've been very lucky. There's a lot of fun things I've had a chance to be a part of. And as long as I've got an appointment for tomorrow, which I believe I do, I'm happy.
Well, Gene, what's it like for you in terms of learning how to pronounce these players' names? Because you deal with in hockey and in baseball and everything else. What's your kind of prep in terms of making sure that you get the names right? Because
yeah, aren't you glad that in print you don't have to worry about pronunciations?
That's so true. So very, very true. I've said that many times.
But on the wire services, aren't you glad, Scott, that the pronunciations are printed out there?
But sometimes there's ones they just assume you know.
Yeah.
And they don't put it out.
Yeah, and those are the ones that always trick you, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if somebody new is coming to town and a new player and you're calling up and say, how do you say this name? And they don't know. I mean, the media people don't know either, that relations people don't know either, and then you're just
Then there's the worst case scenario. I'll answer your question honestly, but the worst case scenario is you go to a player, how do you say your name? Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the response you get back is, oh, I don't care, say it however you want. Well, no, wait a minute, that doesn't help me.
It's not you I'm worried about, it's your mother.
Yeah, I mean, you, your family, your friends, the phone call that's going to come in the morning. The worst surprise is not having seen that name before. Mm-hmm. So we'll get some pronunciations. You look at it, you get familiar with it, and that way when you see it, you're not surprised. The one that surprises you, that's going to be the one that fouls you up.
Makes sense.
Do you ever I've had moments on the air, I have them regularly, where you go, well, whoops, wish I would have done that one differently,
yeah.
But this is, you know, it's so there and gone, you know, but do you ever have a moment where you go, I want that back?
Every now and then, sure. Yeah. Especially when you're, and we've all been through this on the air, where you get handed something cold.
Mm-hmm.
And that
which I'm about to do to you.
Well, that, oh, really? Well, nice to know that. That cold read is the one that will always terrify you. Can I do that again?
Are there any environments, because all of the things that you do at this point are pretty highly structured, scripts, things like that. Is there anything right now that you do that is the most freewheeling?
Sure.
And you've got to be on your toes?
Sure, absolutely.
What is it?
Live pledge on PBS stations. Because at least in Chicago, for their public television station, when you do pledge there, it is not scripted. There's no teleprompter. You're there with your notes and a microphone, and you're on your own.
And you can tell sometimes. Not, I'm not talking about you, but you know.
We've oh no, all you seen can
them.
Say that.
We've all seen it. We know, and maybe it's because I know what it's like. I can tell when an announcer is on script or not.
And you've been doing this long enough that I'm sure you know this feeling. Even though you've prepared, even though you've done it for 5, 10, 15 years, there's always one moment at one time where all of a sudden everything goes blank. And you're not sure where you're going next or what to say next. And if you don't think that still doesn't happen to me, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. I've had a time where I've hunted somebody else. I want to ask him this one question. I got to make sure I ask him this question. And I went the whole interview and never asked him the question. It's like, what were you thinking? What were you thinking? All right, Gene, because you're here, and we're going to give away some prize packs here in a minute, but I need you to do me a favor, if you would.
This is the cold read you were speaking
about?
Yeah.
See, here's it. You work in sports, and Matt, you do too. We all work late nights, and we have young children. I'm not always around to put them to bed. So and to do story time.
Once upon a time.
So we are recording this. Yeah, and I was just wondering if you could help me out because then I can save this recording. And my kids can
have. You know
what's
amazing? He's asking someone who's been more compared to Darth Vader.
This is great. PA announcers read children's literature. This is just Goodnight Moon. I just need you. You can just zip through this, but this way I can send it home, and my wife can play it to the kids at night.
Okay. I'll try.
Are you familiar with this book?
I wasn't aware of this before, Gene, so this is all on.
Wow, they're signing off of you already there, Scott.
I'm going to go out with a bang. It's Friday.
So do you want to try this?
Yeah, go ahead. All right.
In the great green room, there was a telephone and a red balloon and a picture of the cow jumping over the moon. And there were three little bears sitting on chairs and two little kittens and a pair of mittens and a little toy house and a young mouse and a comb and a brush and a bowl full of mush, and a quiet old lady who was whispering hush. Good night, room. Good night, moon. Good night, cow jumping over the moon. Good night, light in the red balloon. Good night, bears. Good night, chairs. Good night, kittens. And good night, mittens.
It's perfect.
Good night. Good night, kids. Okay, one more.
This is fun. No, what do you mean, one more? This is fun. Is this like an audition for being able to do books on tape?
Yeah, just one more. I just thought.
I've always wanted to do that, but you know the trend nowadays is they want the author or some celebrity to read the book.
You're a celebrity.
I'm not.
I think pajama. I promise this is the last one, and we'll do the prize pack.
I promise this is the last one.
You realize that Gene Honda's probably never going to come back on the show now, Scott.
Oh, you know that there is.
There's a proverb about what dogs return to.
No, unfortunately isn't the right word either. We know that there's a connection that I have to this building, to this station, to the friends I have here in this room. He's not in this room right now, but
yeah,
I'm sure he's going to hear
about
it.
Is he mad at you? Because we haven't seen him.
Apparently.
Mike Hale, our general manager.
Is that his name?
Yes, that's it. Well.
I have not heard from him in, oh my goodness, in the calendar year.
Well. Now, this one needs some, this is pajama time. So this one, you got to jazz it up a little bit here. It's not the same tone.
I have a disclaimer that I'll read after a few pages, but here we go. The moon is up. It's getting late. Let's get ready to celebrate. It's pajama time. Pull on the bottoms. Pull on the top. Get yourself set to pajama debop. It's pajama time. Now, some are old and some are new. Some are red and some are blue. Some are fuzzy, some are not. But we can all pajama in whatever we've got. It's pajama time. Oh, yes, it's pajama time.
You're such a good sport, Gene.
All right, we will save that.
See, the disclaimer is this. I don't have children. I've never had to do that before.
It's a wonderful thing to do it. Sometimes to do it every time. That book again. Can we vary it up, please? I've had to start outlawing certain books.
My favorite sometimes, too, is my daughter will do this. I'll start reading, and if I'm not reading fast enough for her liking, she'll just start turning the pages. I have to try to keep up with that pace.
Technical director is your daughter, and she's setting pace?
Yes, exactly.
Nice.
That's very true.
All right, your friends at the Blackhawks have provided us with some prize packs. We actually don't have them here. You can win these and pick them up at the Firehouse event tomorrow night. Yeah.
Unless I get to them first.
Yeah. I'm told it's a bag of goodies.
Oh.
Blackhawks souvenirs.
Oh, that very much unless I get to them first.
There might be an autographed puck in there as well. So, maybe you can offer up something as well. Maybe they can bring a children's book as
no.
Well for you.
See, I was afraid he was going to start that.
All right. We're going to do, there's three of them. The first three callers with the right answer to this question, which is fairly easy. We're in a generous mood here tonight. How many Stanley Cups have the Blackhawks won in their franchise history? How many? Phone number is 356-9397. First three winners with the right answer. Jason will take your name and number, and you just got to go to the Firehouse tomorrow night. At what time is it starting?
Game time is 7 o'clock. We'll be there early. I do not know what their rules are about age restrictions, so I would still recommend you come early.
Yeah, probably an adult event. Probably an adult event. But yeah, 356-9397. If you want to go to the Blackhawks watch party tomorrow night, just call up right now. Jason, tell them how many Stanley Cup finals have the Blackhawks won, And we wish you luck. And Gene, you're welcome to hang out. I don't know if you've got other plans here, but we certainly thank you for the time you've
thank
had
you
with
very
us.
Much. It's good to see you guys. Yeah, and I can't imagine what kind of written material you're going to provide with the next time.
Let's just hope there is a next time, Scott.
Yeah, so do I. No, so do I. We're back. I'm the one who should be wishing that.
Bob Osmond is here. When we come back, we'll also hear from Isaiah Martinez. Having some fun here on a Friday Sports Talk. Scott Beatty and Matt Daniels with you. Thanks to Gene Honda for being in. Now you have some nighttime reading sounds for your kids.
He was a really good sport about that.
He was. I just said, can I have some fun with you before we went on the air? And he said yes.
Well, he was already in studio, so you timed that well, Scott.
Bob Osmussen is here.
How do you follow the voice of God?
You don't.
How hard is that? Thank you for that. Why don't you have me follow like D. Brown or something? It'd be the same thing. Obviously, his voice is fantastic, but what's even better about Gene is he's a great guy. Mm-hmm. A great sport about doing that, which I would have told you to go jump in a lake, but he didn't do that. So I think he should bill you. I would bill you. I think that's about 10 grand worth of his work.
I think he'll just bill the usual to our station.
There you go.
He's been a longtime friend too, which is fun. So
great guy,
and it's cool the U of I connection and the Chicago connection, and man, I mean, just the amount of events that he gets to do.
Who gets credit for bringing him back to Illinois to do the games? Because that was really smart.
I don't know. I guess that would be. I would guess that might have come out of either Kent Brown or marketing for U of I.
Whoever did that, very smart, because obviously he's a good guy who loves Illinois. And is happy to come back when his schedule works, and his schedule is pretty tricky. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty neat to have him there at games. Really, it's great to see him, of course, and it's great to talk to him. But again, for the fans, they don't know how spoiled they are with this.
Yeah. I think we got our three winners. I'm not sure. I'll check with Jason here. But if you want a chance, I'll give you the information again to go to the Blackhawks watch party. Again, that's tomorrow night at Firehouse. If you want to go, and Gene Honda and Blackhawks people will be there, and it should be a fun time. All right, Bob, we have had a week where Illinois has finished off their recruiting for the most part.
True. Yeah.
And they've added a staff member now, Austin Clark, a 27-year-old, as a defensive line coach. How do you sum up the week for Illinois?
Well, it's been a good week for that, obviously. They finished the recruiting, getting two more quarterbacks, which they desperately needed, so that's good. I think adding a new coach is good. They've got one more spot to fill. But Austin Clark, to me, looks like a risk, but a good risk. A young guy, really young, 27. He's off to a great start in his career. First job is in the Power 5. That's a great deal for him. He's been in Southern Cal. It sounds like, from what I've read, they've got a potential opening there. So I wonder, that's probably became a big deal for him. Coming here was a big thing for Levy Smith, a kid, this guy.
To be around Donnie Abraham and Hardy Nickerson and all these things, I mean, I think he's in good company. They can probably guide him in this coaching process.
Oh, yeah.
And plus, I mean, you're working with USC. That's not a bad program to be working around.
Yeah, no, it's not. It'll be interesting, too, just to see how he what he's like on the practice field. He's not far removed from his own college
not
career at Cal. You know, he's only going to be maybe 5-6 years older than some of the guys that he's coaching, so you have to get over that barrier. But I'm sure you know, Lovie Smith went through checked all his boxes and got all the references for Austin Clark, and like Lovie Smith said, he just kind of blew him away in the interview process. And you know, he's a guy that is going to come in and young, you know, fresh coach trying to leave his mark, make his impression. And I'm sure he'll be a hit on the recruiting front too. That's going to be a large chunk of his responsibility as well, is to get out there and hit the road and sell the program in living rooms across the country.
I think the three hires so far, the operative word has been recruiting. Clearly, Corey Patterson, mm-hmm. recruiting.
Yeah.
Rod Smith, recruiting. Coach Clark, recruiting. I think that's the key. And I think Lovie Smith looked at his team and said, wait, we got to get better. We can't have it. The number 50 class in the country, we have to have a top 20 class. So the only way to do that is hit the road. Get out there, be aggressive, get after people. And I think having a young guy on the defensive side, this guy's really young, it's going to be great benefit for Illinois.
All right, I want to switch gears here because you and I, Bob, had a chance to talk with somebody who may go down as one of the greatest athletes ever in Illinois, and Isaiah Martinez. He's going to wrestle on Sunday at Huff Hall for the final time in his career. It's their final home meet. So we got to talk to him jointly. You have the first part of this interview. I have the second part. Here's Bob and I talking to Isaiah Martinez, and we'll talk a little bit more about this because you have a profile of him coming up on Sunday as well. A great wrestler for Illinois, Isaiah Martinez.
Can you believe it's almost over in terms of home? Obviously, you got a lot more after you finish Sunday, but can you believe it's, you know, it's been 5 years like that, right?
You know, I think I get this question a lot, and I don't think it went by that. I think the seasons go by fast when you're in
Sure.
But when I look back on my 4 years, I feel like I've done so much and I've had so many experiences that I don't really think it went by that fast.
Okay.
Right? I've been present in every single moment that I've been in, every big moment. So for me, I don't think it went by that fast.
Really? Okay. Yeah. That's interesting because most people would say, oh, it was a snap. But for you, you enjoyed it.
Oh, I loved it. I mean, just, again, being present in those big moments. Mm-hmm. So, no, I don't think it went by that fast. I think in hindsight, when I look back, I'm like, wow, it was a flash. But I'm still in the thick of things. So.
Right. You got a lot of season left. Are you going to be crying on Sunday, you think, or not?
I mean, I'm a pretty emotional guy, but you know, the goal of any elite level athlete is to control your emotions and perform the same every single time. I don't think so. I think I'll look back and you know, I'll have a good feeling when I leave Huff. So,
how important is it to wrestle? Not just win, but you know, wrestle at your best on Sunday because it is the last time you're in that place.
I mean, it's important for me to wrestle my best every time I go out there. Every time I go out there, it needs to be the same performance. It needs to be the same high level, focused, intense athlete that I've always been. So, that's where my mind is.
Think back at the guy that came in here, 18 when you got here.
18 years old.
Redshirting as a freshman. Did you ever envision this would happen? What you've accomplished? And coach just told me yes. He remembers you telling him, I'm going to win every.
Absolutely.
Whenever.
I mean, I think the goal of any high level athlete, right, the wrestler that comes in, is you got to have vision. You got to have not necessarily a grandiose sense of self, but a belief that you are capable and deserving of. Accomplishment, right? So and of course you have to put the hard work in and the focus and you got to have a lot of things go right. So I definitely did believe that I was capable of doing the things that I'm doing now. Is it really that realistic though when you're 18 years old and you have no idea how you're actually going to get there? Maybe not, but again, it was about that vision and learning how to prepare myself and I guess act the right way.
Was there one moment when you realized, I think I've got at least a handle on this. I got a chance to be what I'm hoping I can be.
Absolutely not.
No.
I'm always learning. I mean, I think that's a big part of my personality. Is I look at the way I compete and I look at the way I wrestle and I don't know. I'm never necessarily happy with the way it looks, right?
Okay.
I'm always like, man, I could do this, or I could do this better. Or I need to do this better. You know, and it's not being negative, but
sure.
That's just how I approach when I watch film or something like that. I'm like, I gotta do this better. I know what I do right. I know what I do good, but there's always things that I can improve on.
Is there a mulligan? Is there one event, one moment that you would like to have back?
I mean, in hindsight, it's easy to say, right? You want to take back the national finals, but for me, to be 100 and whatever and two, you know, I've learned so much more about myself from losing, right? It doesn't happen often in a sport like wrestling when you have high-level athletes that are trying to be dominant, right? So, you can't rewind your actions, and I believe that you have to live with the results at the end of the day, and you have to learn how to build from there. So no, I don't wish to take anything back.
Coach Heffernan just said you're the standard bearer for Illinois wrestling. When you hear that, and it's a pretty nice thing to say, but how does that make you feel?
You know what I say this a lot, or when you have my teammates joking around with me, they're like, oh, I'm gonna whip you today, I'm gonna beat you. I don't ever get really offended by that because I tell them, it maybe sounds a little arrogant. I was like, if you could beat me on any given day, you must be pretty good, and I hope you do, because that would make you great. And so I don't know. It's nice, right? I try not to buy into the idea of believing in how great everyone thinks you are, right? Because that's dangerous, right? You're never as good as everyone says you are, and you're never as bad as everyone says you are. So try to keep that in mind.
We're with Isaiah Martinez. Isaiah, you talked about your ability to be in the moment. Is that a learned thing? And if so, how do you do it?
Yeah, it's definitely a learned thing, right? Because when there's 17,000 people in a packed arena and it's so loud, you're in the back and so loud, you can't even hear yourself think, right? It's terrifying, right? Performing on live television, things like that, it's not something that humans are naturally born to do, right? So we have to learn, you have to learn how to deal with that, manage, stay in your zone, right? For me, it's not trying to reject those feelings. It's about understanding them and understanding how to get yourself in the right mindset. So with that kind of approach, I am able to appreciate the things that are going around, right? I appreciate the fans and I appreciate my coaches, and I look at them and they look so nervous, and I think they get more nervous than me. But those kind of things, recognizing those kind of things, have been, you know, great, because I get to see how much my coaches care. I get to see how much the fans care or don't care, right? So I do really enjoy everything about this game.
You're surrounded by really good collegiate wrestlers at Illinois and in your competition as well, but you're a great wrestler. Do guys come to you for advice? What are you doing that others aren't doing?
I mean, I can't really say that, right? Because if I'm doing something that other guys aren't doing, I don't want to give that away. Right? No, I'm just kidding. What do I feel like I'm doing that other people aren't doing, right? So that's a big thing with me, is not just believing that you can win, but believing you deserve to win. And the only way I believe I deserve to win is doing things that other people aren't doing, right? Putting in that extra effort, running, you know, never missing a rep, always leaving no stone unturned. And that's just how I am, and that's how I've actually been able to jump levels, is being so meticulous in my approach that I'm never surprised by anything.
Your last home meet on Sunday, you'll be wrestling a ranked opponent, and he's a freshman, somebody you've never faced before. How do you prepare for somebody you haven't seen?
You know, I watch film. I pay attention to things, mistakes or habits, tendencies, things like that. I watch a lot of film. I'm a big fan of wrestling, but I'm also a student of the game. I just go be myself, right? Perform and trust in my abilities and perform in my preparation. So just go out there and handle my business.
And you said you kind of set aside the emotions for the moment. Afterward, will you let it come in that you just wrestled for the last time at Huff Hall?
I don't think so. Maybe when I'm alone, but you know, my teammates look at me to be someone who is 100% there the entire time, right? It's important for me to be myself or my competition self when we're in competition. So I don't think so.
Best of luck. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Isaiah Martinez, he will wrestle against Wisconsin Sunday, 1 o'clock, Huff Hall, and he is wrestling somebody he's never seen before who is ranked.
Freshman.
He is a freshman.
Right.
Yeah, it is Evan Wick, who's 18-2 this year. Martinez is 10-0. In just the few seconds we have left here, but I mean, it's a kind of a sweeping statement, but he may be a top five Illinois athlete of all time when it's
certainly
all said and done.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think what Coach Heffernan said was, let's see what he does the rest of the year. So he wants to see if he wins the third title, that would be a first Illinois, a big deal. Four Big Ten titles has never been done in Illinois. So he's the rare air. And you can read my story Sunday, but I've talked about where he fits all the time in the school.
Well, I think what also adds to his legacy, too, is just his personality.
Oh, yeah,
his
great kid.
His gregarious ability, and he just connects with everyone. He's got enthusiasm and that passion out on the mat, and I think that really resonates with a lot of people who may not be big wrestling fans, but they just see his passion, his energy, and that really connects with them.
He could take all three of us right now easily with one hand.
Yes.
And probably, I don't know what we could do against him. It'd be awful.
All right. I'd try to run out of the studio if I could.
He's the guy I'm most afraid of on campus by far. Not even close.
But he's a fascinating study because he, and I was trying to get at this a little bit, he is the next level of, I mean, there's this pocket of really good wrestlers out there, and then there's just this elite, and what makes a guy like that tick? What makes him so different to be that successful that much? All right, we are out of time. Thanks, Bob. Thanks,
good
Matt.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason Liggett behind the scenes. Thanks to Isaiah Martinez. Thanks to Gene Honda. Thanks, everybody, for listening. High school basketball tonight, 7:30, Centennial and Urbana. Michael Kaiser, Evan Kahn on the call. Don't forget Saturday Sports Talk tomorrow morning. News Talk 1400, WDWS, Champaign, Urbana, News Gazette Media Station. Good night.